From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
They said he would overwhelm this field, and he certainly has. Accelerate for John Sadler, and Joel Rosario gets his fourth. Accelerate in the Classic.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself. Demolishes them in the Queen's Plate.
A furlong to run in this wet Whitney. It is Diversify. Oh, and he's got a five-length lead here. Mind Your Biscuits and Discreet Lover will battle for second. Diversify has won the Whitney in style.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back together again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning. A huge day of racing at multiple racetracks throughout the Mid-Atlantic states on this Saturday of the, matter of fact, the first Saturday, JT, of the autumnal equinox. How about that?
How many hours and minutes till spring?
Well, yeah, no kidding. Fall officially arrives this evening at 9:54 Eastern time. And for those like myself who hate the cold, this is not a welcome day. The minute the summer leaves, I become more depressed.
More depressed than you usually are?
Well, it doesn't help that the Steelers haven't won a game yet as we enter fall either. Yeah, that doesn't help.
I didn't want to bring up the fact that the Cleveland Browns have a better record than the Steelers.
Isn't that ridiculous? Absolutely ridiculous as we sit here on September 22nd to think that that could be the case. But, you know, Baker Mayfield, he looked good the other night.
Oh, man, he looked sharp, huh?
Yeah, he looked good.
I'd like to have him on my fantasy team.
Right. You didn't draft him?
I did not.
Who's your quarterback?
Well, depends. Jimmy Garoppolo, I have on two teams. I also have Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So, not too bad.
No, not too bad at all. If you were picking a quarterback in the world of horse racing, a trainer, if you could draft one quarterback, who would it be?
Oh, Graham Motion.
Ooh.
Probably.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. I think I would have gone Bob Baffert. If you're looking for fantasy points, right? Put it that way.
Oh, if you're looking for fantasy points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like turf racing, so I would go Graham Motion. But Bob Baffert's an excellent choice. I mean, there's plenty of guys. You'd have to say Baffert, Pletcher, and Brown would be the top three.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah, Chad Brown's another one. Todd Pletcher, sure. Yeah, of course. If you're looking to amass points, right?
Right.
If you're looking at it like that. Bob Baffert, the reason I bring that up, holding a strong hand today at Parks up in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, where they will contest a couple of grade ones. They have five stakes races on the program this afternoon. Three of those are graded. They have the grade one Cotillion and the grade one Pennsylvania Derby. The Cotillion, of course, for the three-year-old girls, and then the Pennsylvania Derby for the three-year-old boys. And that's where we find Bob Baffert, Mike Smith, and they will team up to send out McKenzie, 5-2 morning line favorite in that Pennsylvania Derby.
Yeah, well, that's very rare that a horse comes off a long layoff like that and ends up the favorite in a very tough field. It's a talented group. I think that's a fantastic race. The Cotillion's good, too.
It's going to really
be a
good,
great day of racing. Collected's coming back in an undercard race for Baffert. He's a fantastic horse and reportedly training better than he's ever trained in his life. So they should have a nice day.
Tip your hat to the team at Parks for what they've done putting that program together. And that Cotillion you mentioned, rock solid. They have the top four three-year-old fillies in the country squaring off with Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bisou. You have Separation of Powers and, come on, give it to me, the fourth one. Give it to me. Wonder Goodot.
Wonder Goodot. They put it out another release.
Goodot. Now it's Goodot. We're back to Goodot.
But
I think we've done six different names.
The only one that's missing is Dreamtree, right? I mean, Dreamtree's all world too.
Right. She's really good.
So, yeah, it's
we're going to see her at Keeneland, right? Isn't that where she's going?
She's going to sell at Keeneland.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I read. She's selling at Keeneland.
I don't know if she's going to race at Keeneland or not. Right. That would be great if she did. She's a fantastic filly.
All right, well, Parks has their big day. As I mentioned, huge day across all the Mid-Atlantic states. Charlestown in West Virginia, 7 stakes races, including the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks, which you're going to hear live with us tonight on the network. Coverage begins 9 o'clock Eastern. You can listen on Sirius XM Channel 93 and, of course, worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski going to bring you that coverage again, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then at Laurel, 7 stakes races on their Saturday program, including the Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial Dash. That's a program that was rescheduled from last Saturday because of the hurricane. They moved it to today and going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's a fantastic card at Laurel, too. They do such a great job in Maryland on these big stakes days. They've got a couple of them today and next weekend, so... Yeah, it's something that everybody can enjoy. It's pretty much everywhere on the East Coast has excellent racing today. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic group of horses running.
Yeah, really, really good. We're going to be joined by Eric Zimney, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations at Charlestown, right around 8:35 Eastern. He'll talk about that program. Sal Sinatra, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And toward the end of the show at 9:36 Eastern, Keith Jones, who is the announcer at Parks and the handicapper there too, he's going to stop by for a visit and talk to us about those outstanding races on that Saturday program. But after our first commercial break, we're going to be joined by our good friend Stuart Morris, who has been busy over the past couple of weeks at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. We'll talk to him about that sale, and we'll look ahead to tomorrow's High Hope Steeplechase here at the Kentucky Horse Park. All of that ahead on a very busy morning. But before we get to our first break, our good friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence is in studio with us as a special guest co-host over the next 2 hours. So, Mark, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys. Glad to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and looking forward to the next couple of hours.
Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, what's going on?
We've been busy. A lot going on. Coming up, so be some exciting things coming. We are going to have a huge presence at EquestriCon with TAA. We actually put together their booth. It's a 50 by 20 booth.
Nice.
And it's going to have all the aftercare groups, not all of them, but a lot of the aftercare groups of TAA. So should be an exciting time.
Yeah, it's going to be
good.
And
then we go into Breeders' Cup, and we're a Breeders' Cup partner.
You mentioned names like Gary Stevens and Drayden Van Dyke and Joel Rosario, who are all Red Brand representatives, as is the Big A, Anthony Stabile.
Yep.
So I want to know what piece doesn't fit into that puzzle there, by the way.
We haven't found the right horse for him yet, but we're hoping.
I think if you took those other three guys combined and added up their total weight, it's still not going to equal with the Big A.
Oh, no. And he probably holds that title.
Yeah, I think you need to do an ad campaign. This is my suggestion to you. Do a print ad campaign where you have those three jockeys trying to give a leg up to the Big A. Right?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. With one of the Budweiser Clydesdales.
I like that.
Or maybe put one jockey in each leg of his pants and one like in the seat of his pants.
I think that would be spectacular.
Or just stack all three on his back. poor Anthony. He's going to kill us.
We always talk about Red Brand and the manufacturers of the non-climb fence. And as Anthony says, to him, every fence is a non-climb fence. And,
exactly.
And yeah, probably a good thing. All right. Going to be a busy morning. Here's our poll question. You can weigh in at HRN on Twitter. With this being the first day of fall, at least arriving later this evening, what is your favorite fall race meet? And we'll give you four choices. You can vote for Keeneland. You can vote for Santa Anita, Belmont, or Laurel. Those are the fall race meets that you can vote for at HRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We'll update you on the results of that question as we move throughout the show. Time for our first break. We'll come back and visit with Stuart Morris in studio with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating grade one winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamradal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-588. 5480.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Henley's Joy winning the Kentucky Downs Juvenile, owned by our good friend Jeff Bloom and Bloom Racing. And a horse that came through the same program as so many standouts that we've seen over the past couple of years, and that's the Stuart Morris program. And Stuart is in studio with us now here on HRN. Stuart, happy to have you on board, bud.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how about that? Henley's Joy.
It's a lot of fun. I'm very lucky to work for Mr. Ramsey and the family out there with Mark Partridge and sell horses for them. So it's nice being around quality animals like that.
Yeah, that Keeneland sale's gone well for you too, huh?
Yes, it has. It's been a very good year since I went on my own. This is the biggest consignment we've had, and an official from Keeneland came down yesterday and let me know that I topped over $1 million in gross sales on Wednesday, which
ooh.
I've been so busy I haven't even had a chance to tally it up and see where I was, but very fortunate, and it's been a great year. It's been a very good sale out there. I think most folks have had a pretty good experience out there this year.
You're like a poker player. You don't count the money until the game's over.
That's right.
Aren't you supposed to show up with the box of donuts or something like a jock agent after the big race?
Probably should.
Congratulations, bud. The whole sale, right, has just been spectacular. And I know we talk about the book one, the first 4 days, how, you know, it's kind of a boutique type of a market, and it's a different buyer category for those 4 days than it is for what we're looking at now and tomorrow for the last couple of days of the sale. But your thoughts on the overall sale?
I think it's been extremely, extremely strong. The whole market, in my opinion, in the last couple couple years has been heading in this direction. It's kind of building towards this. And I think, you know, we've had a great run in the industry with a couple Triple Crown winners, which helps. The economy is obviously very strong, so there's a lot more capital out there to be put into horse business in the horse industry for racing. And it started at the front. You know, there was so much money in the front end to buy horses that a lot of guys that usually can participate and buy a lot of horses in the first books were pushed down further, and it's just been the trickle-down effect all the way through till even yesterday when they were selling $170,000 yearlings on the 11th day of the sale. I mean, it's just amazing. The market's been so strong, and the depth of money for what's judged to be a quality horse is very, very deep well.
Well, you you always have a nice group, and you prepare them perfectly, so people have to gravitate to your horses if they get to your consignment. That's probably the hardest part, right? Getting people to come see them.
There's no question. There's no question, and I appreciate the compliment. I'm very lucky as well because my most of my horses are prepared by my owners or other farms I work with. So I'm very lucky to have a lot of quality folks I work for that bring the horses to market well. They raise good horses, they raise runners, and that's the biggest thing. Performance after the purchase is what we have to be successful with as sellers and breeders. And I'm very lucky to have a lot of very good folks sending me horses to sell for them.
What can we read into the success of the yearling sales this year that might help us understand what we're looking at when we move toward the November sales and some of the breeding stock sales later in the year?
I think it's an indication of how strong we are right now and how much demand there is for racehorses in this country today. It's probably as strong as it's been in a long, long time. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with the success that several very, very expensive horses have had at the racetrack. You know, Pharaoh now, in hindsight, kind of looks like a bargain at $300,000 after Justify cost $500,000 and Good Magic was $1 million and Mendelssohn was $3 million. And when these really expensive yearlings go and perform, it creates a comfort level, I think, for a lot of the wealthy folks to think, well, I can actually go buy the best of the best perceived by the judges that we think are the best and have a legitimate shot to get to Churchill on Saturday in May and get to the Breeders' Cup and go to Dubai and go to those big races. So I think that a lot of those folks are really more sportsmen than they are trying to make the math work. So if they feel like they can have an advantage and buy the best of the best and have a legitimate shot at getting there, it helps drive the market. And that's been reflected by me, right? Justify is the first Triple Crown winner I ever bought at public auction. Or second, I guess.
Second, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had the last two have been bought at public auction, right? So, I mean, that just helps feed the machine. And the economy's great right now. And we've got a lot of good things going on in our industry nationally, I think. So I just think we're in a good part of our game right now.
Yeah, you sponsor a segment on this program, which comes up later in this hour, as a matter of fact, which is the Industry Star of the Week. And it was your brainchild. I think it's a brilliant idea. Matt Sims is actually our guest later this morning. But we had a gentleman on who was the farrier at Arlington a couple of weeks ago. And he bought two horses at public auction, one at Keeneland, one at Fasig Tipton. And they were minimal sale price, $3,500. And he had the two favorites in the Arlington Washington Lassie. So it just goes to show you, and I'm sure that that's something you like to get out there too. You don't have to spend $1 million on a yearling in order to have success in this sport.
No, I sold Henley's Joy, the horse that won the 400 grander down at Kentucky Downs, for $20,000.
Yep.
As a yearling, you know. And that's the thing, you know, they come from everywhere. The other horse I had, the stake horse this year, our Brain Trust, was a $25,000 yearling. You know, and then I've had other horses that were very expensive that went on to run. But to think that you have to spend six figures or lots of money to buy a horse to be successful is not the case. It just, you know, when that does happen, it helps feed the machine for us. But there's no question. There were a lot of stake horses sold yesterday for less than $30,000.
Yeah.
I can promise you. I might have had a couple, but I promise you there'll be a lot of those over there.
Stuart, what's this, Mark? What's the most memorable horse you've sold that was unexpected to perform and came back later?
That's a good question. Well, I should say this. I didn't actually sell him because I had gone to work for Dapple, but I was still helping my father at Highclere, and my father sold mine, that bird, for $10,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's pretty really cool.
That wasn't my own personal one.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
So
I can't take credit for that one being personally, but my dad sold that horse for a good friend of his, Bill Betts and Partners. And
really didn't turn any heads at the time.
Well, it's interesting. My dad and I were talking because he had a pretty modest group of yearlings over there at the Fasig Tipton October sale that fall. And I remember going over there to him from my consignment at Dapple before we started going, and we walked through the whole consignment and talked about them all. And there really were a lot of unremarkable yearlings in that consignment. But that little horse came out, and he had just this – he had it. He
just a presence.
Came out like a boss on the ring, little bitty tiny dude with a crooked leg, walking around like he was Justify. You know, he didn't know he
in his mind he was.
His mind, he was the man. He was the big dog in the yard, and that horse just came out on there, just kind of captured you. He had that presence about him, and then he's super athletic, you know, brought 10 grand. And so, like I said, I can't claim that one by any means and wouldn't, but my father obviously did. And I did see him with my dad that day, and we commented, like, this is a really cool horse.
What's more rewarding for a consignor, when you have a horse like that that isn't supposed to be all that good, mm-hmm. turns out to be a superstar, or when you have a horse that's supposed to be a superstar and they deliver and they perform up to that level?
You know, I guess anything that performs at that level that you're fortunate enough to be have hands on is rewarding. And I guess it's hard to say. We always root for the underdog. We always want the underdog to go well. We always like that story. That's just a feel-good story for everybody. Even the rich guy that's not the underdog likes the story. So they always mean what? I mean, I think the biggest thing is I like seeing horses leave my barn and be successful for whoever buys them. Whether they cost $1,000 or $1 million, people to buy my horses, be happy with what they're getting as a product, have those horses to perform to the best of their ability, whether whatever level that is, but just be performers and have tenacity to go. And so for me, that's the biggest rewarding thing. But, you know, a lot of it comes down to for familiarity with the owner you're working for. Obviously, if you've worked for someone for 25 years, like I've been fortunate enough to do, when you help build the machine that makes the horse, that's always more rewarding because you just personally have more invested. But I'm just lucky to have a lot of them. I guess the one horse that I could say that I was personally involved with, and it really wasn't maybe a rags to riches thing because she cost $190,000 as a yearling, but I liked her better than that, was Patch Attack. I was lucky when I was working for Dapple to help take care of her on our first crop when I was working for Mike Akers over there. And she wasn't an inexpensive yearling, but for what she turned into and what she grew into, obviously it looked like a bargain at the end of the day. And that was from our first crop from Dapple. So that was kind of a one for my personal, like, that I actually built by myself.
Is there a unexpected sire that you tend to look for that people don't, other than obviously Kitten's Joy? But I mean, is there anybody out there that you kind of catches your eye that isn't really on the headline right now?
Well, let me think about that. I mean, obviously the up and comers are the horses, the horses with yearlings coming next year. I mean, and I think there's a lot of nice ones out there. I mean, obviously there's American Pharoah and those guys, but a horse that stands for lesser money that I've been impressed with some of his babies that I think could be a sneaky good shot to kind of make some noise next year, a Secret Circle actually over there at Hillendale.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he was a house of talent. Baffert trained him. And I've liked some of his babies, and he stands for like $5,000. Right?
Run Happy, too. We're hearing good things about the Run Happy.
Run Happy's doing a phenomenal job.
Midnight Loot over at Hillendale.
Yeah, he's always doing good.
We were actually over there the other day to do a video shoot for Red Brand.
You know?
He looks amazing. So,
but I think, you know, I guess if I had to give you a horse now that was kind of under the radar horse with runners coming, I would think kind of Secret Circle is a horse that maybe not be the mainstream thought horse, but I think he's doing a good job and it's lending itself out. Some of Soulwell's yearlings over there and people are finding them over there because he's making athletes.
Visiting with consigner Stuart Morris here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's the kind of horse, too, that could put out a splash early.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
get
Wesley Ward a couple of those and have one at Keeneland by 6 or 7.
Exactly right. Exactly right. For a son of Eddington, he was a very precocious horse. You know, he's an expensive 2-year-old when they bought him, and then he turned into what he did. But there's no doubt about that. And they look that way. I mean, I think that's why they're being well-received. They look like he did. Big, sturdy, precocious, early horses.
Stuart, only about 5 minutes or so left in this segment before we have to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf coming up in just a little bit. Want to give you a chance to talk about an event that's taking place here tomorrow that we have kind of partnered on in terms of promoting it, and that's the High Hope Steeplechase. It'll take place at the Kentucky Horse Park, and what a day it's going to be. Hopefully the weather cooperates, because this day that you have planned out is remarkable.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, we're celebrating our 50th year this year. There's a big black and white ball gala tonight at Buck Pond Farm. The Arnold family has been gracious enough to allow us to put on a black tie ball over there this evening. And actually, that farm is the location of the original High Hope Steeplechase event that happened 50 years ago. So it's been kind of cool to bring that in and tie that in, and kind of represents the history of that farm and the history of the race meet we've been having for a long time. You know, they've got music out there, all kinds of great vendors. There's going to be events for the kids, bounce houses and things of that nature. We're going to be celebrating, with fox hunting. There's going to be a presentation of the hounds there. There's going to be pony races. There's going to be stick horse races, for adults and children, and typically the adults are way better. I think if Mr. Feld's going to be over there, if we can get him past the vet, we ought to make sure he has an entry.
You got a vet check him?
He's got that bad knee. We may have to see if we can get him past the past
the we can take care of that. He won't even know he has a knee.
There you go.
We get to him.
But it's just going to be a great day for family and friends, and it's always a fun event. And it's the tailgate spots are all sold out, and there'll be a quarter mile of people backed up to the rail, celebrating, picnicking, and watching the races, and then there'll be the folks in the boxes and stuff. And it's just a great event. We've got 60 horses coming this year, which is a huge pile for us. We're very fortunate to have the NSA and the support of the steeplechasing community with the trainers and everybody, because it's not a short trip for those folks. They have a lot of opportunities up there in the Mid-Atlantic where they
absolutely
are based to run and have a lot less expense out of their pocket to come support us. And it means a lot to us that those guys take the travel. And we hope that this is going to be growing into an event like the big event down in Nashville. That's a huge social calendar event. And they give away a lot of money down there. So
the slogan for this year is celebrating 50 years of charitable Kentucky tradition. And that charity element is so critical to what High Hope is all about. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's always been a nonprofit that we raise the money. The money we raise goes to charities. And this year we're supporting a Children's Hospital in Louisville, a Children's Hospital here, some retired thoroughbred programs. And we spread the money around across not just equine-centric charities that need support, but also for human people, human support for medicine and further research in cancer and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You got the pony races this year, too.
Yeah, man. And the pony races.
11 a.m. first post.
Did I see Rosie Napravnik's, one or two kids are in that?
I don't know.
One just, kid? Both kids?
I think both of
kids.
Them are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they may have a bit of an advantage. We'll have to see. I don't know. We'll have to see if they've taken on their folks' natural God-given gift, I guess. We'll
I saw a out. Video the other day. I guess they were practicing, and the parents actually run alongside the horse. Is that right? I didn't know that.
I think when they're kind of checking things out, depending on the age of the children, they're lining those things out to make sure it's safe, obviously. But actually, we're very lucky this year. I believe we're participating in a global pony race event, and the winner ends up across the water, running for a lot of money.
Abu Dhabi or something?
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi.
To Abu Dhabi. Yeah. So it's going to be great. I mean, this is where we're actually participating in a international pony race competition.
You know somebody who's really big in that is Frankie Dettori's son.
Yeah.
Does the pony races
big time.
They're so cool.
That's a selfie group. Huh?
It's people put them on Twitter. I'm like glued to them. I watch them like 15 times.
No doubt. So we also have a great side saddle event celebrating the kind of resurrection of side saddle riding.
Yeah.
One of the best side saddle riders in the world comes over from Ireland every year. She holds the vaulting record now, vaulting and side saddle, and it's just mind boggling what she can do. So it's just a great day of a lot of different things going on. Not just steeplechasing. There's dog races and pony races and kid races, and the steeplechasing is obviously a blast, and we're very lucky again to be supported by the community and the training, the owners there, to bring so many nice horses to run with us this year.
Yeah, it takes place tomorrow at the Kentucky Horse Park. Gates open at 10 a.m. The activities begin at 11 a.m. And make sure you're out there and support High Hope Steeplechase and support those great charities too. Stuart, tip my hat to you and to the entire team for everything you're doing out there, and congratulations on all the success. $1 million at the Keeneland sale.
Yeah,
well
it's
done.
It's been very, 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 I'm a very lucky guy. I'm very well supported by a lot of people, my staff, my family, my girlfriend, Patty, my kids, Woody and Harper and Ezra, my mom and dad, the great folks I work with that are my people that help me get through this. And then of course all the folks and my clients that support me and send me nice horses to sell that, makes me look good. So I'm very lucky to have a lot of support around me.
And always the consummate gentleman. He took the cowboy hat off when he came into the studio today for the interview. So we'll let you put it back on and enjoy the rest of your day. And
thank you guys.
Enjoy the football game tonight.
Yes, we will. It ought to be a lot of fun. Yeah. What do you think?
Cats are a big underdog, aren't they?
We said cats 9.5, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, playing at home.
You got
sure.
You
have to. Support the home team.
Cats and the points at home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Stuart Morris here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and make sure you stop by his consignment at all the major sales coming up, not just here in the Bluegrass, but across the country. This is normally the time we would bring you that Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but in deference to all of our guests in a very busy morning, we're going to bypass the story portion. We will bring you this commercial, this word for the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And then we're back to visit with Eric Zimney from Charlestown. That's next on HRN. Stay with us.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain, Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's, wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner, Shaman Ghost, will stand the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queens Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost, he has won the Woodward!
Midnight Storm leading halfway down the stretch in the big cap. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Edina, standing in Kentucky in 2019. And available for inspection now.
World-class racing is less than a week away, so don't miss opening day of the 2018 Santa Anita Autumn Meet this Friday, September 28th, with a revised wagering menu that will include the all-new Stronic 5, featuring a record low 12% takeout each Friday, and the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6. There's more ways to win than ever. Play the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 on opening day, and you'll be guaranteed a $250,000 jackpot pool, and we'll guarantee $1 million jackpot pools Saturday and Sunday, September 29th and 30th. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Alter Moon, under confident handling from Edgar Zayas at the quarter pole, leads by two. Star Cloud is still second. Starship Bonita set down for the drive to try to get a rally going. With 3/16 to go, it's still Alter Moon up front. Alter Moon clear by four and running powerfully. Star Cloud is trying to hold on to second with Starship Bonita, then Florida Fuego. But 3-5 and all the hype, well worth it. On Alter Moon, the daughter of Alternation, is the Azalea winner. Wrapped up by five. Star Cloud second, Starship Bonita third. Florida Fuego finished fourth.
Alter Moon, an impressive winner of the Azalea down at Gulfstream Park. And Alter Moon back in action later tonight in the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks in Charlestown, West Virginia. We're going to have exclusive radio coverage for you right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Begins 9 o'clock Eastern. You can join Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski on Sirius XM Channel 93. And, of course, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing Operations at Charlestown, going to be joining us here in just a moment. And, JT, this is, you know, we love Charlestown to begin with. It's one of our favorite trips of the year when we head there to broadcast the Charlestown Classic every April. But the track itself and a day like this with so much emphasis on the West Virginia program, it really means a lot.
Well, Charlestown has really developed and it's beautiful. I was talking about it yesterday on Express Bet Radio, and it's such a nice place to visit. And the casino is beautiful. The food is great there. The hospitality is fantastic. The backside is pristine.
I mean,
it's not, you know, Charlestown in the old days had kind of a different reputation, but now it's a world-class facility. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Trainers stay there year-round. They have fantastic racing available, and it's just a really fun place to go.
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence is in studio with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. And joining us now from Charlestown, West Virginia, is Eric Zimney. And Mark Otto, you're going to like this. You are a huge fan of Game On Dude, who is now
our favorite horse.
Old friends, Charlestown Classic winner, of course. Eric Zimney named his cat Dude after Game On Dude. That's how much of a fan he is. And Eric is with us now on HRN. Eric, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. See, I'm sure you've been around Game On Dude then, Mark. You know, he's kind of a big softie.
Yeah, he's our favorite horse. I'm on the board of directors at Old Friends, and we have him right next to the driveway.
Yeah, and Dude the Cat has inherited none of that.
Send him to Kentucky and hang out with him.
Yeah. No, I've been there a few times. It is an awesome facility, and it's cool to just see all those horses. Mike does such a good job down there.
Who does Dude the Cat like to win tonight's Charlestown Oaks?
You know, that's a good question. He's a big partier, so I think late night powwow, the West Virginia bred, might be who his cash is on. But it's great to have a West Virginia bred in a race like that here. It helps the program a lot.
Yeah, it does. And what a night it is, Eric. You take a look at that program. The entire program start to finish very strong, as you might expect on a night like this. 7 stakes, and then that overflow field of 13, the 3 also eligibles in that Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. Alter Moon, the 7-2 morning line favorite. Chad Brown, Javier Castellano. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we're going to have a few scratches out of there. Joe Sharp's horse, Divine Mischief. I think that filly's going to start him at Dogwood. Linda Rice's filly split time's not going to run. And I'm not sure if Pletcher with Alba Arella is going to run either. But either way, I mean, we've got some really good horses there. And the lineup of riders coming in is phenomenal. I think there's a plane emanating in New York that's going to stop down in Philadelphia, pick up some guys who are riding at parks, and then continue on here. So, I think there's Javier, Joel Rosario, and Johnny B's and Don Pletcher's horse, my Rad Ortiz, who was here in April, too. So it's a great lineup. I mean, riders are fans, don't get to see all that often around here.
Yeah, it's a nice night. And Javier, he rides your tracks so well. I mean, it's a feather in your cap to get him there, but the fans are really going to be treated to somebody who rides the bull ring as good as anyone.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, it was incredible. At one point, I guess his winning percentage here was right around 75% and something like, $300,000 or $400,000 a start, and he's won the Classic 3 times. He won this race in 2012 with Book Review for Chad Brown, too, so... Yeah, I mean, you see sometimes some riders will come here who aren't used to it and can struggle a little bit, but he has not been one of them. He has been lights out, and, I think that's a pretty good indication. I mean, he comes back here every time we have a big race, so he's enjoyed the success, too.
You mentioned the 3-year-old filly. Well, of course, they're all 3-year-old fillies, but the filly late night powwow, the West Virginia bred, taking on open company in this.
Especially for a program that, can struggle at times in the commercial breeding market. I mean, I'm guessing she's going to be in the 12-1 range. So, I mean, there's been bigger surprises than that. But I think she can get a piece of this.
You have Alter Moon, who, as I mentioned, the 7-2 morning line favorite. Chad Brown, Javier Castellano. Jude talked about, and you talked about how well Javier rides that track. I loved her last time out in the test stakes at Saratoga. She ran a big race. She was fourth at odds of about 7-2 that afternoon. This is a little softer group than she met in the test. She looks like she could be the real deal.
Yeah, look, there's no separation of powers in here going 7 Hazu, and that might be, Chad's other fillies kind of bread and butter. So, Linda Rice's filly's nice. I mean, there's some other nice fillies in here, but no, I mean, there's no separation of powers. So I think the other thing with her is she looks like she might get a pretty good trip. She might be able to stalk there from that outside post because there is still a good amount of speed in there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Sense of Bravery and how she's positioned versus Alter Moon, because I think those are probably the two most likely winners, if I had to say. So it's going to be a rider's race.
Yeah, Sense of Bravery looks pretty tough. She was beaten by Champagne Problems last time, who's a 3-year-old, came back and and ran Blue Prize to a nose in her next start. So that's a pretty salty group of fillies you've got going tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was of course against older fillies in the Groupie Doll that she ran against last time. That's always an angle I like, dropping back down against straight 3-year olds after you're trying older, in August or September, and to run that well. You know, cutting back, you know, one furlong, I can't imagine she's going to be on the lead like she was down at Ellis, but, you know, that may be a good thing, because I would imagine that the filly outside of her, I think she's quiet. Certain Linda Rice is filly on the inside. I mean, there's going to be some horses who are kind of going to be, I would have to think, gunning out of there. And again, between Altered Moon and Sense of Bravery, the two likeliest winners on paper, I think they seem to also stand to get the two best trips. So now we're happy with the way the race turned out too. You know, no huge names like we've had in the past with a Groupie Doll or a Book Review or anything like that, but top to bottom, some quality.
Hey, isn't this usually the morning that you participate in the road race up there too?
And by participate, you mean hand out bibs and eat donuts behind the counter. That's exactly what I do. Right now, I'm looking at the clock. We're 13 minutes and 30 seconds in, so hopefully someone's finishing up here in the near future. But, it's a light drizzle this morning. I can only run in ideal conditions, so that's why I'm sitting it out today. I don't want to embarrass everybody, you know.
Eric Zimney with us.
He doesn't like giving the ground.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, what is the weather going to be like up there tonight?
So we got a pretty good sized storm overnight. The track, we usually have a breast cancer walk around the track in the morning. We're not going to be able to have that because we're going to have to, tend to the racing surface. But it's supposed to get sunny during the day. The track should be able to dry out and be pretty good. And then the rain is not expected till midnight. So the track, if it's not fast, it's going to be wet, fast, good, something like that. So we should be dry at race time, though.
What about the rest of the races tonight, Eric, and the wagers? Any special wagers associated with the Charlestown Oaks? What can you tell us there?
No branded wagers or anything like that, but we do have an all-stakes pick four that's going to start in race 9, end in race 12, which is the race after the Charlestown Oaks. I guess our pick six tonight is going to be an all-stakes pick six as well. You know, we have 7 stakes altogether. A lot of local horses who you're going to see in the West Virginia Breeders Classics, which is our state bred championship event coming up in October. So, a lot of local names, but then you got a lot of national names to fit later in the Charlestown Oaks. So, it's going to be a pretty good menu for bettors, whether it's the pick four, the pick six, which I think there's about a $20,000 carryover at this point. Outside of Kentucky Downs and Suffolk, we've got the lowest blended takeout in the country. So you're going to get more back for your money than you would just about anywhere else. So we encourage everyone to fire in.
Hey, on a separate note, I know that you've been very busy working with the sports betting that has now been launched in West Virginia and there at Hollywood Casino. Tell me a little bit about that and what's happening there.
It's been huge, to be honest. I mean, we have seen a ton of foot traffic that's come in since the sports book started. We feel like we designed a really good space for the amount of time we had. It's moved forward. It's exceeded my expectations. I don't know, the last day we had under 6 figures that were handled at the book. I mean, and that includes a Tuesday or something like that in the summer when there's nothing to do. So we're very pleased. And today and Sunday, as you can imagine, those are the lines. We probably had 400 people in line last Saturday.
Have you seen a boost to the racing product as well from the people that are in there playing the sports?
Well, I think the biggest impact of the racing product here is, it's going to be an amenity that affects the gaming revenue otherwise, which is where the racing side gets 92-93% of their purse money from. So anytime you can, incrementally impact where you're getting the bulk of your purse money from, that's going to be a help. So it's really helped a lot of things around the property. It's a pretty good competitive edge we've got right now with it. We'll have it for a little while. So, anyone who's coming out, check it out. We're pretty proud of it.
What line can you get us on the Steelers and the Buccaneers Monday night?
I think the Steelers were favored. We were favored by 1.5. We didn't have any props on which player was going to do the dumbest thing for our team this week, but I guess Antonio Brown probably would have won it. It's 1.5, which you would have thought of it more before the season, but it's been a rough go.
Yeah, Eric Zimney with us live from Charlestown. The Charlestown Oaks coming up tonight. Our coverage, 9 o'clock Eastern on the network. You can tune in nationwide on Sirius XM 93 and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. And before I let you go, Eric, Mark Otto here just flashed his belt to me. He has on a belt that's like it has Game On Dude on the side. So he's wearing his Game On Dude belt to support the home team.
Out of 190 wow. horses that we have, Game On Dude's on my belt.
Wow. Wow. I will tell Dude to cat that, and that means he'll probably scratch me or something like that.
There you go.
But, that's pretty cool.
In honor of the occasion.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, Eric, appreciate the visit here this morning. All the best tonight. Enjoy that Charlestown Oaks, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks for the support, as always. You guys have been a great partner for us. Thanks, guys.
All right, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, Eric will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Big night. That Charlestown Oaks is we talk about how good the Cotillion is, grade one, top 4 3-year-old fillies in the country squaring off. This is a great betting race. When you talk
Absolutely.
About an overflow field of 13, only 10 will run. Eric said there'll be a couple of scratches, but we'll have a field of 10, 7/8 of a mile. It's a two-turn 7/8 of a mile at Charlestown, and a 7-2 morning line favorite. That's a Breeders' Cup-type betting race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very strong race, and it's a race that's highly coveted by people in the area. So, you'll type now, we were talking to Stuart earlier about
yep.
the sales, and it's so important if you have a nice filly that you get some black type, you get some graded. If you can win this race, you win a grade three. I mean, that ups the filly's value probably at least $400,000 or $500,000.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's big. It's big. All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back. Our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, is on the other side of this commercial break, and then we'll get you set for a very busy second half of the show as we talk about the racing at Laurel and at Parks. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miseralia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched and keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with 4-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and 3-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
High Hope Steeplechase returns to the Kentucky Horse Park on Sunday, September 23rd. Celebrating 50 years of charitable Kentucky tradition, High Hope is the place to be for over-the-top family fun. Enjoy live music, cornhole, frisbee golf, pony rides, a petting zoo, and face painting, all while watching thrilling steeplechase racing and equestrian competitions. Gates open at 10 a.m. Sunday, September 23rd at the Kentucky Horse Park. Visit highhopesteeplechase.com to purchase your tickets today.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
So they're at the quarter pole, top of the stretch, out of the fog and homeward bound here. And on the inside, it appears to be Switzerland. To the outside is Long Hall Bay, Switzerland just in front. Switzerland out of the final furlong. In the final furlong it is, Switzerland from Long Hall Bay by three. And Lewis Field is in third, and Irish Colonel has worked to fourth with a 16th left to go. Switzerland, the sharp Switzerland by three in the sprint. Long Hall Bay was second, Lewis Field was third. And then it was Irish Colonel and Hartwood in 109.43.
Out of the fog and into the stretch, Dave Rodman with the call of the huge win for Switzerland last time out at Pimlico. And he's back in action this afternoon in the Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial Dash at Laurel for trainer Steve Asmussen and jockey Fergal Lynch. And we're going to be joined in just a few minutes by Sal Sinatra, who is the president of the Maryland Jockey Club. He'll tell you all about that race and today's card. He'll also look ahead to next weekend's program, which is Rock Solid at Laurel as well. Time now, though, for your industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. And we welcome in young Matt Sims, the son of trainer Phil Sims. He works with his dad. They've had a tremendous amount of success together, and they've been very busy at the Keeneland September sale looking for their next superstar. And Matt is our industry star of the week, doing some really positive things in the world of racing. Matt, welcome. Happy to have you on board.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, congrats on all the success, too. You and dad have made quite a team.
Yeah, we have. We've had a few Grade 1 winners, a few Grade 2 winners, and a few Grade 3 winners, and we've got a few on the rise now that we're looking really forward to in the next few months and next year, too. So it's an exciting time coming up.
So when you have had such success, it's got to give you confidence moving forward.
Yeah, it does. It does. It all, you know, we started with Hot Cha-Cha, and she won the Grade 1 QE2, and then she was just kind of a Mr. Remakin bred her on a limb to Cactus Ridge. And then Don't Tell Sophia, I know a lot of people know that story. We bought her for $1,000, Dad and I did. And she made $1.4 million on the track and sold her for $1.2 million. So she won a Grade 1 Spencer her six-year-old year and followed up with that with a runner-up spot in the distaff behind Untappable.
How were you able to get her for $1,000?
Well, she was in the third book. She was just a big old filly, correct everywhere. There was nothing wrong. She had a couple OCDs in her cycles. We never took them out. We left them in. They never bothered her. But she was too big for a pinhook. And a lot of people just didn't like Congaree. And her mare had finished second in the stake of Aqueduct. She had the mare's first foal had, had just finished third in a listed stake. So the pedigree was there on the mare side, and she was showing a runner, Congaree. He had, at the time, was having a few consistent runners, and we had one in the barn that seemed like she was doing okay. So we took a gamble, and for $1,000, why not? And we expected actually to spend more, a little bit more than that. We were going to go to $30,000 with our cutoff on her, but it all worked out, and it was a great success. There's a great story behind it, and it really showed us that we're doing it right. We can do this. We can keep on going forward. We don't, you know, it's nice to have the big Tappets and Medaglia awards and stuff, but, you know, we're kind of dealing with some horses that aren't quite bred that well, but we're still going out there and beating those $1 million yearlings, and it's great. It's showing that we can actually do it as a stable.
It's great when you can buy a horse for $1,000 and have it pan out like that. I love it. I look for those horses in the form all the time. I know Jeffrey Russell's not a big fan of that, but I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's not. Like, we had one at Oaklawn we bought for $2,000 as a yearling, and last year her first start she won a maiden $80,000 maiden specialway at Oaklawn, first time out, and Jeffrey texted my dad afterwards, and congrats, and you stole another one. So.
Yeah, he's watching, too. He's watching for different reasons, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, he was watching, I think McQuaid had one of their She Beasts they bought for $350 or something. So, and that's as we sent a couple in there. So, but it just works out. It works out. We able to go to the sales and buy racehorses, and that's what we do. And try not to blow some budget and everything, get too crazy with it, because a lot of times horses don't pan out. And so you always want to try to leave, you know, some money in the bank to keep on playing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you got to keep your bankroll intact. And horses like that go a long way to make up for some of the ones that don't pan out.
Exactly. It was, my dad said, our family's been doing this for over 100 years, and we finally broke even on Don't Tell Sophie.
This week's Industry Star of the Week is Matt Sims, and he works with his dad, Phil Sims. They do a tremendous job, and they make a great team. Matt, there's an adage that says, don't work with family. But that hasn't really been the case with you guys. How does it all work?
Well, I hear that a lot. How do your dad do it? And a lot of it is because we have trust in each other. We've both experienced a lot. Obviously, he's got a name for himself. As I tell people, I'm by a multiple grade one winning sire, Bill Sims. I have a multiple stake winning mare, Belinda Sims, that both my grand sires have both won stakes with trainers and breeders and everything. So, but it's just, it's the trust thing. I know that when we ship horses, a string of horses elsewhere, he knows I'm there. Everything's getting taken care of as he expected it to get done. And we have that because I have a passion for it, and I definitely want to see the stable keep on succeeding. And it's just, it works out well. We communicate well together. There is just everything. Every now and then we'll have a little disagreement on something, but it's always, you know, it's always, we talk it through and we learn from it and we keep on going. And we do. We really, really, really work well together. And I'm blessed to be able to do what I do because it gives me opportunities as an assistant to go to the sales, experience that, pick out horses, and then go to the Breeders' Cup. I'll go to Gulfstream in December. We'll take a few down there for stakes. And I get to do some stuff that some assistants don't, that my dad allows me to do, and to work with family. And now I've had some family that I haven't really worked well. We don't really kind of get along, but it's not over the horse or anything. It's just kind of, we butt heads because we're the same person. My dad and I, though, we get along really, really well. And there's no if ands, buts about it. And I think a lot of it is with the trust issue. It really is. We trust each other, and he knows it's going to get done to the best possible way. And that's how we do our horses, is give them the fairest of opportunities. And it's just the way that it's always worked like that since I was a kid. And I grew up in the game, and he knows that I'm going to take care of these horses, and that's what he expects.
Well, Matt, congratulations on being named this week's Industry Star of the Week. Say hello to your father and keep up the great work.
Oh, sure will. Thank you.
All right, Matt Sims, Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. You can catch that segment every single Saturday here on HRRN. All right, busy second half of the show coming up. It kicks off with Sal Sinatra, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club. He's on deck. Keith Jones from Parks, also part of that second half of the show. We're back with hour two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Pavlik Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Pavlik Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Robert Bruce, who's charged up for the lead. It's Robert Bruce. Robert Bruce has won the million.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Back, hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on. Very busy morning. The show all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. And happy to have you back with us on Sirius 219 XM channel 201, and everybody streaming us worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, our interviews with Stuart Morris or Eric Zimney from Charlestown, well, all you have to do is head back to our website after 10 o'clock Eastern and check out the podcast. That's all at horseracingradio.net. I'm Mike Penna. Jude Feld is over to my left. Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence sitting in this morning. He's across from me, and we are in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. We threw a poll question out there at the top of the show. You can still weigh in. You have another hour to do so during the program this morning. You can do that on our Twitter feed, at HRRN, or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And we asked you to choose, which is your favorite fall race meet, with fall arriving later this evening? You got four choices: Keeneland, Santa Anita, Belmont, and Laurel. And right now, it's not even close. Keeneland in a runaway. 66% of HRN Nation saying that is their favorite fall meet.
I better vote for Santa Anita.
you know who I'm voting for? I'm voting for Laurel, because the president of the Maryland Jockey Club is joining us now. That is Sal Sinatra. Sal, you got my vote.
Thank you. Got mine, too.
Good morning, buddy. Happy to have you on board.
Thanks for having me.
Sal, how about this? We are 41 days, 6 hours, and 17 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs, and there's no doubt that the winner of this afternoon's Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial Dash is going to be heading that direction.
We sure hope so. We always like to try and be a feeder's race, somebody to root for when that day comes.
What a program today. 7 stakes races. You do have that Grade 3. 9 horses entered in that race, and the morning line favorite is Switzerland from the barn of Steve Asmussen. So, well done. Good card.
Thank you very much. We actually got lucky. Well, we moved it from last weekend and actually picked up some horses. So, it was kind of a blessing in disguise with the hurricane coming.
You can tell Sal gets all choked up talking about a card like this, right? Yeah, you know, you had no choice. That was a decision that I know wasn't easy for you to make, but when you made the call, you and I talked, I guess, shortly right after you made that decision, and you said it was absolutely the right thing to do, and as you said, it's panned out.
Yeah, it did, and with the 6 turf stakes especially, you know, it rained up until Tuesday. Finally got to mow the turf yesterday, but it was overcast all week, and believe it or not, we actually got 10 minutes of rain last night. I'm like, oh, no, will she ever go away? But we're going to be good to firm today, and it's a really good card, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's been a tough summer up and down the coast for turf racing. They lost 50 turf races at Saratoga.
Rain or humid, that's it.
Yeah, you guys must have lost quite a few, too.
We did, and in fact, I think I haven't been on the turf in like 12 days. It's like a brand-new course out there, so they should enjoy it.
Sal, for people that have never been to Laurel, you've gone through quite the remodeling process over the past couple of years. Tell us a little bit more about Laurel. How would you describe it to our listeners?
It's going into transformation. It's going from 1970s, 80s to today. We've been, you know, doing a lot of decor stuff room by room. We've tried to add some amenities to get a different generation of people here, like an e-gaming wing we have here now, a sports bar. We're doing a state-of-the-art sports book, even though Maryland doesn't have sports wagering yet. And we're just trying to get other fans into our building so we can show them a good time and introduce them to racing. And it's worked for us.
Yeah, it's worked. It's worked very well. And as we told you, 7 stakes races on the Saturday program this afternoon, and all of those turf stakes. Tell us a little bit more about the entire card, Sal.
The card itself, we've been slowly kind of falling into line with the rest of racing and trying to, you know, start bundling races together. I think we've all found that, you know, when you do, you get riders like today. We got, you know, Gary Stevens riding, you know, 4 or 5 races. Yeah. And that wouldn't happen in the past when you only have like 2 supporting stakes on a Saturday every weekend. So, you know, that's been the goal. Coming from Parks, which is their big day today as well, September really plays good for weather. And with this turf course getting a break from Timonium, we kind of loaded up September with turf. You know, so now I have, you know, obviously this weekend, and then next weekend we have the placeholder for the DC International, which is hopeful to return sometime next year. So we're really trying to showcase this turf course that Frank had put in the mid-2000s. They didn't use it in the summertime when Colonial was running the summer meet. and we've been fortunate the last few years to use it in the summertime. It's really paid off.
I know the Gary Stevens things is music to the ears of Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, who is here with us in studio, Sal, because Gary, one of the Red Brand representatives, and always great when you can get a name like Gary Stevens at Laurel Park.
Yeah, we're excited to have him there today.
It's great for our fans, and it's great for the bettors out in the simulcast world.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's a recognizable name. And so many of the horses that we're going to see, like I say, Switzerland as the morning line favorite, he figures to take some beating in there coming out of that A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. But prior to that, he was a big winner of the Grade 3 Maryland Sprint on Preakness Day at Pimlico, and he looked good that day, Sal.
Yeah, he was very impressive, and hopefully he's good for the course here. I mean, I'm going to have the slop like he had up at the Preakness, but he looked really good.
Yeah, he's very talented, very fast, and Asmussen's had a fantastic year. So,
yeah, we were supposed to get XY Jet, but because I moved the race, he worked. He dinged himself a little bit, so he passed on the race. And I think the actual race is a better handicapping race, a little more even, and probably a little bigger than it would have been. So I'm really looking forward to this renewal.
Talk about some of the horses that might pose the biggest threat to Switzerland, Sal.
Well, again, I'm going to be a homer a little bit. Ned Allard's horse will be a little bit what I'm rooting for.
Always Sunshine.
A luck horse, you know, but I think this spot fits him pretty good, and he's run well with us.
Yeah, and he's 3-1 on the morning line, so it wouldn't be a shock either if he were to pull it off. And as you said, he has a win over the Laurel track.
Yeah, and he's benefited from not having the XY Jet or Imperial Hint type horse in this race.
Yeah, you got another household named Jill Baffert. She's got one in there with trainer John Service. You don't see that every day.
No, man, yeah. I'm wondering. I'm assuming John's not going to make it himself because he's got business up at Parks today, but he's going to be a little tough on the outside for sure.
Talking with Sal Sinatra, president of the Maryland Jockey Club, here on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sal, talk a little bit about this Maryland racing program. Where does it stand now?
Well, what we've done is we've tried to basically get a year-round place. For years, Maryland racing, we're talking 70s, 80s, into the 90s, was very strong. And then with the advent of slots coming up through the Mid-Atlantic, we were the last ones to get it down here. And the program kind of suffered. They lost a lot of their grade ones because they didn't have purse money to maintain them like did the Francis. So we're trying to build these things back up and try to get a year-round program, get the feeling back, the vibes back. Maryland is really a horse-rich state. And because we've done these renovations, because we're putting a little bit of excitement in, we've actually brought the crowds back, which has helped handle, which has helped me increase days. I've expanded the OTB network from one. We just opened our ninth one up, and I got my 10th license 2 days ago to bring racing to the people within the state. And, like Maryland Million, we expect a huge crowd this year. Preakness keeps breaking records. Even I was only down 5% with the washout this year. So we've really got some real excitement in Annapolis and with the fan base, and we're just trying to bring it back to where it once was and hopefully beyond.
Yeah, 10 OTBs. Congratulations on that.
They've been very well received. The network, we've done a different model than in the past. We basically partnered with existing sports bars and casinos and such, and just brought amenities to places that didn't have them. And it's just incremental income. And what I feel is most important is it's in everybody's face. It becomes part of your natural culture as there's racing. We advertise locally on radio stations and stuff, and we don't want to be foreign to people. I think a lot of people who don't go to the races don't realize what they're missing. So we're trying to get those people in, and it's a cheap date. It's, free to park, free to get in. You don't have to bet. We try and give a good food product. We try and give a good atmosphere. And as when there's a crowd, people feel like they should be there. So that's really the whole, crux of it.
Well, the people in Maryland are always supportive of their racing. Maryland has such a rich tradition of thoroughbred sport. And, when are they going to get the Breeders' Cup at Laurel Park? I think you guys deserve it.
I think when our master plan finally gets the last nail in it, which Belinda was here about 3-4 weeks ago, and she's put her stamp on it, and they're doing the renderings for Maryland Million because we're going to have a lot of political representatives and Breeders' Cup representatives here. I think our goal is, I know they announced the next 3 years, but we're hoping that fourth year is out there for us.
Well, I hope so, too.
Yeah, it would be great to see, and well-deserved, too, with all the work that you and your team have put into that racetrack up there. Sale, really well done, and let's hope it happens very, very soon.
I hope it happens for the Mid-Atlantic, and you know, it needs to come east. We're in pretty good proximity to all the major cities, from New York on down. I think it would be a really good spot for Breeders' Cup to try.
Sal Sinatra, he's the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, doing a great job. He and his entire team keeping the ball rolling and moving it forward, as you can tell, in Maryland. Great day of racing today. Make sure you're tuned in. It's the Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial Dash, part of a program that features 7 stakes races on the Saturday card at Laurel. Sal, like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to you, and we'll look forward to visiting next Saturday on the program to talk about that placeholder, as you called it, for the DC International.
Terrific. Look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Sal Sinatra here on HRRN. What a program. And they really have done a lot. I haven't seen Laurel Park with the revisions, but everything I've heard, that remodeling that they've done is spectacular. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's stepped up a lot, and I do know that Breeders' Cup is looking at it. We're a Breeders' Cup partner, and there has been talk about Laurel, so it wouldn't surprise me to see it there at some point.
It'd be see it up in Maryland? How cool would that be?
I mean, it's a no-brainer, in my opinion. Yeah. All the new stuff they've put in at Laurel, and the fact that the people in Maryland love racing. They just love it. So very supportive.
Yeah, Maryland Millions gets stronger every year.
Yeah, I mean, it continues to grow and move in the right direction. Of course, we're going to be on site at Laurel for the very first time. We bring you coverage of the Maryland Million every single year, but this year we will do it on site at Laurel. That coverage comes up on October 20th as we take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup. And of course, you can tune in nationwide on SiriusXM satellite radio and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And we encourage you to visit our website because that's where you'll find a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule and all of our Breeders' Cup Week shows listed for you on our website as well. All right. Keith Jones, the announcer at Parks, is going to be with us right around 9:36 Eastern. He's going to talk about those two grade ones, the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby, later today. But before we get to that point, a couple of other items to take care of, including your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Thunder Snow, remember him? Yeah, he arrived at Belmont Park. Thunder Snow, Godolphin's Dubai World Cup winner, there you go, has settled into Belmont Park Quarantine Barn for his bid in the September 29th Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. That'll be fun to watch. The 4-year-old Irish-bred Helmet Colt arrived from England around 3 a.m. Eastern on September 21st, where his training will be overseen by Tommy Burns, traveling manager to trainer Saeed bin Soror. And that's your update for this morning, brought to you by Blood Horse. And did you know that you can now use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to the Blood Horse Daily feature stories? That's right. Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news, along with analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more. It's free and available via PDF, email, phone app, and now Audible via Alexa devices. All you have to do is visit bloodhorse.com/daily. All right, we're back with more. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Jude Feld every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. We'll have all of the action this fall from places like Belmont, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and Gulfstream Park West, as well as interviews with the who's who in thoroughbred racing as we inch closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. That's Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at Horse Racing Radio.net.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I'm listening to Horse Racing Radio.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They run to the top of the stretch. Take charge. Paula floats wide off the corner and still has the lead, but Heaven Has My Nikki battles on toward the inside second. Late run from Sultry down the stand side with Morning Destiny. Final furlong, Take Charge Paula and Paco Lopez kicking away. It's Take Charge Paula clear at the 16th pole. Take Charge Paula with the win and the forward gal by 3.5. Sultry second, My Miss Lily third, then Heaven Has My Nikki and Morning Destiny.
Take Charge Paula, a winner of the Forward Gal at Gulfstream earlier this year. She is one of the top contenders in tonight's Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks in Charlestown, West Virginia. That's a race you'll hear exclusively with us here on the network. Coverage beginning 9 o'clock Eastern. If you're just tuning into the show this morning, that coverage comes your way at Sirius XM 93 and, of course, streaming worldwide, as always, on our website, horseracingradio.net, so you can listen to us anywhere in the world that you may be. Going to visit with Mark Otto here in studio, and we'll talk a little Red Brand Fence in just a minute, but want to remind you that hay season is here, and that makes now the time to save on hardworking hay tools. For a limited time, enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. Pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more, and be prepared with tough and reliable equipment. Offer ends October 26th of this year. Terms and conditions do apply, so make sure you see that John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details. And if you can't stop into a John Deere dealer, well, guess what you can do? You can call 866-678-4289. That's 866-678-4289 to find out how you can get an equine discount of, how about this, up to 28%. That's right, 28% off new John Deere equipment by calling 866-678-4289. 678-4289. Pretty good deal.
That's a great deal.
Nothing runs like a deer.
Nothing runs like a deer. And that actually has
trust
to
me. I've been trying to get the damn deer for now for like 2 weeks, and nothing runs like a deer. I promise you that.
I'm telling you, he's got his own closed circuit TV.
The buck is still winning, by the way.
Yeah. That's good. It's winning more than the Steelers.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? He is right now. He is. That all changes Monday night. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, you got Fitz magic you got to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy, as you would say. As Ignacio Correas would say, that guy.
That guy.
That guy. Man, there's a reason he's been on, like, what, 8 different teams? That can't last, can it? Fitz magic.
He's got an easy matchup this week.
Boy, yeah, you go by last week.
He's asking for it. Send your mail to HRRM.
Absolutely brutal. Mark Otto, Red Brand Fence. Let's talk a little Red Brand for a minute. Not only the title sponsor of this program, but all of our Fall Stars weekend coverage from Keeneland is presented by Red Brand, as is our Breeders' Cup coverage, which is presented in partnership with Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org. So
and our
thank
Santa
you,
Anita.
My friend.
Yeah,
and Santa
thank you.
Anita, that's right. Santa Anita.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can't forget our California connection.
That's right. Thanks.
I know you guys are all east, but you got to consider the West Coast guys a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you publicly for all of your support this year and really looking forward to building on everything next year. I know we've talked a little bit about
too.
That.
Yeah, we are too. We're really excited. You know, you guys are great partners. We really enjoy it. And, you know, we enjoy the whole industry. It's really kind of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, there's a, you know, there's challenges like anything else. But, I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. We've really grown. It's kind of amazing. I mean, this week we were fortunate enough that we were able to do video spots at Hillendale and Claiborne and Siena, old friends. And, you know, I have to tell you, standing on some of those farms, you it's kind of, you know, takes you back a little bit because you really, you know, it's really an honor to be part of these farms. I mean, you look around and you see just miles of our fence and, you know, it's quite an honor that these guys put that kind of trust in us. And it really is amazing how well it's being received and how fast it's growing. We're having more and more horsemen talk about, you know, how much it reduces injuries, how much it saved them. There are guys that have literally told us, especially off the record, I have people stop me like when I'm walking around Keeneland and say, you know, we've learned our lesson. We've had horses cast under fence. We've had horses get impaled on fence, and we haven't had an injury since we went to Red Brand Fence. So it really...
How does the Red Brand Fence help prevent those types of situations?
The biggest difference with either one, even not V-mesh is the classic for thoroughbred because it'll absorb the energy. But with a board fence, if they do run through it, or if they or gets broke, you got a jagged edge sticking out. And with our fence, even though there's a board on top, if they run into it, even if they break the board, the fence will absorb the energy and put them back in the paddock and doesn't let them, you know, go through. The biggest injury comes when they go through. You know, if they break it and bounce back, you know, they might get scraped up a little bit, but they're gonna be back and they're gonna keep going forward. And the biggest thing we're realizing, and it was actually, you know, Eric Hamelback that kind of brought this to the forefront. You know, an injury, we always thought in the past of injuries being catastrophic, you know, but as you know, with our industry really almost becoming 12 months a year now, there really isn't a downtime. You know, the catastrophic injury is horrible, but an injury that throws them off for a few months can almost be worse because it could change that horse's entire career. You know, if you've got a yearling or a 3-year-old that's targeted somewhere and it gets injured, that could change their entire racing career. And, you know, that is catastrophic. And that's what a lot of people are realizing. The other thing they're finding is over the life of the fence, it's actually more cost effective.
Yeah.
You know, there was a couple of the farms that actually kind of tracked the maintenance on a four-board fence and tracked the maintenance on our V-mesh. And it was a double-digit savings over just the first 10 years. And the reason is because you don't have to replace the boards, and you just have one board rather than 3 or 4. And that wasn't even taken into consideration, neck and knee injuries, scrapes. Another thing that's coming more and more is what it keeps out is just as important as what it keeps in. So with homes and subdivisions getting closer and closer and closer to farms, that's becoming, you know, not that, you know, the family dog is necessarily going to take a horse down, but you don't want them getting run. You don't want them getting startled. You just don't want things in the
What about coyotes? Attic.
Coyotes are a huge challenge. We have a farm out south of town that traps them, and they have caught over 100 so far this year. And that's a huge deal. I was standing at game at Old Friends one day and watched one go through Game On Dude's paddock.
Really?
Come in one side, went out the other, and kept going. And we're even putting more and more VMesh at Old Friends. We put up, probably about 30 or 40 rolls of it this year, and it continues to expand. All the new property on Ironworks is getting a lot of VMesh, and, it's just continuing to expand because the more people see it and the more people understand it, the more you can see not only the value, because it really does last longer, but, just the safety.
Yeah.
I mean, it just protects it. I mean, Ken Ramsey was telling me one of the things he likes, it keeps the trash off the main roads out of the paddock. So as much as it may not be real attractive, it kind of collects it and
against
the fence. Whereas the wind, if you're on, they're already on Harrisburg. You can spread trash for a long way.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the other thing I always think about and notice is you don't have to double fence.
Yeah.
Because you are keeping the horses in the pasture as opposed to them running through the fence.
Yeah. Can eliminate.
I mean, I don't know if there's a horse alive that could actually run through a V-mesh fence. I don't think
they'll go through. The only thing I've ever heard of is I heard one time where they ran, it was a yearling filly, she ran full speed into it, and they said it was like watching Gilligan on Gilligan's Island. She hit it and flipped over like a hammock and landed in the aisle between the two paddocks, and they said she was just kind of dazed, stood up, didn't have a scratch on her. And they caught her, put her back in the paddock. That's the only time I've ever heard of one going through. The other thing we're finding more and more is we actually have people that put it on foreboard on the inside. So if that's your look, you don't have to change the look of the farm and you can still benefit from it because then if they hit it on the inside, they're not going to go through. They won't even hit the boards. It'll stop them. And it stops things from coming under the boards. And from the road, when you paint it, you can hardly see it.
Right.
You know, if it's behind it.
So, if somebody goes and they purchase the Red Brand product and they want to put it on their farm, does somebody come out and do the installation? Is that an
option? It's kind of farm by farm.
They do it themselves?
Yeah, it's kind of farm by farm. Okay. Some farms have their own crew.
Yep.
Other farms have guys that they hire. There's several crews around Central Kentucky and throughout the United States. The other thing that should be noted is, we have programs through Breeders' Cup and TRA for horsemen that have substantial rebates. I mean, there's huge rebates through NTRA. And that's a big deal. So, and then on top of that, I mean, we are a huge supporter of the industry. We really believe in what we do. If, there are farms that have large projects, we always try to help out in any way that we can. We donate fence to Old Friends and TAA and other, people that need it. So we really try to support the industry. We're growing it all the time. Add more people. We actually are just getting ready to put in a Red Brand presence at the Bluegrass Stockyards in Georgetown. There's going to be a gear store there where people can get the Red Brand tools. And
nice.
One of the things that's kind of ironic, probably one of the most popular things on the farms has become the Red Brand gloves. So we make a line of leather gloves that were really for a promotional item.
Huh.
They've gotten so popular with the grooms and the gate guys at the tracks. Everybody has them. I mean, and they have the Red Brand on knuckles, but what's interesting is we had Kevlar put on the fingers, the idea, obviously, that it'll hold up to the wire when you're installing fence, but it holds up to the leather on the shanks. So the grooms like it because it doesn't wear out their gloves.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. I need a pair of those for the farm.
Yeah, we got to set you guys up with some. They're really good gloves.
Yeah, they're good. And again, Red Brand Fence, the sponsor of this program and so many other partnerships in the industry, as you heard Mark Otto say, including Breeders' Cup. They'll be at EquestriCon with a booth there. If you're planning to attend EquestriCon the Monday and Tuesday prior to the Breeders' Cup, make sure you stop by and say hello to you and to the entire team.
We're going to have a red carpet there with some celebrity people. One of them is HRRN's own Big A. He'll be floating around there for one day.
Wait a minute, he's achieved celebrity status?
Yeah, you know what? You'd be surprised. He has quite a following.
I told him he was on the G list one day. He got mad at me.
Yeah.
You told him what?
I told him he was on the G list. He was a G list celebrity. Oh, absolutely. He got really mad at me.
Every bit of G list. Yeah.
Yeah. Every bit of G list. Right. But he's
not all A list. I mean, they can't, you know, like me.
He's, yeah. You had a big interview this week, so you're popping off.
Oh, the ABR interview?
Yeah.
How'd you like that?
It was all over Twitter.
How'd you like that?
I knew most of the answers. There was nothing revealed that I didn't know.
Right, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, that was the Baron uncensored right there.
Yeah, that's the naked Baron.
How about, is that like the image that pops up on your phone when I call you? Is that still the one of me smoking the cigar in the pool?
In the pool.
Topless.
Yes. Topless.
Right? Yeah, yeah, that's the one that you have.
It's the only
on your
topless
phone.
Photo I have on my phone.
Right.
Is you.
It's you.
Wow. I need to get a life.
Yeah. Quite a revealing show.
Yeah. All of our listeners have now gone to vomit.
No, Big A draws a crowd, and not just pizza and donut delivery guys. I mean, there's a lot of guys come to see him, and, you know, we're excited. I think, you know, another thing we have that people might be interested in, you know, we're sponsors of Breeders' Cup. We're doing a program with Santa Anita coming up where we'll be Clocker's Corner. And then we're also kind of a little unrelated, but the North American Livestock Expositions in Louisville. It's one of the largest stock shows in the United States. Red Branch started in cattle fence.
Yeah.
And we're the title sponsor there. And we're actually sponsors of the History Channel Blood Money cast Double J Fence. So we're bringing Double J in from Montana. They're going to be there signing autographs and stuff like that. So we're going to have... We have a lot of stuff coming up, both in and out of equines. So.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And again, support Red Brand Fence. They do a tremendous job of supporting the industry. NTRA, Breeders' Cup, HRN. They're part of a lot of different things. Equestricon, HBPA, Old Friends. You're tied into Old Friends as well. So make sure you support them. And I know they'd really appreciate it. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to one other commercial break. Actually, we got a couple more, but we're going to get to one more and then come back and visit with Keith Jones, who is the announcer and the handicapper at Parks. He'll talk about the Grade 1 Cotillion and the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his four starts by a combined 20 lengths. A six-figure September sale purchase he won impressively in his two-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At 3, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe, running a 105 buyer and winning by open lengths. Mastery, new for 2018 at Claiborne Farm.
Stuart Morris offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you.
Henley's Joy gets up just in time.
And our Brain Trust gets up on the rail to win.
Malagasy to win the Rebel.
With 10 two-year-old winners already in 2018 and multiple stakes place horses over the past 3 years, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Be sure to visit the Stuart Morris consignment in Barn 35 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From Foaling Barn to Finish Line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. This week, we focus on a potential future star for Darley Stallion Street Sense as Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert purchased hip number 263, a daughter of Street Sense, at the Keeneland September yearling sale. One of two yearlings by Street Sense to sell for $800,000 at this year's sale. And here's what Bob had to say.
Actually looked like a no-brainer. And I've always been a big fan of Street Sense, I think. Like any horse, if you buy the right one. And I also trained McKenzie, who's probably his best horse, and he's getting ready to come back to run. Every time I went to see her, I saw her three times. I couldn't fault her, and so I just fell in love with her.
And that makes him 263 at Keeneland September, your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. He's represented in today's Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby by morning line favorite McKenzie. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and here we go. Monomoy Girl turning for home in front. Midnight Bizou has taken second, and she's got dead aim at her if she's good enough as they come into the final furlong of the Coaching Club American Oaks. Monomoy Girl is in front. Midnight Bizou is all out second on the outside. Chocolate Martini is third. Monomoy Girl's got plenty left in the tank. Oh, what a fabulous filly she is! Monomoy Girl wins it by three! Midnight Bizou was no match for her today. Chocolate Martini was third. Eskimo Kiss is fourth. 150.46, the final time.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and special guest co-host Mark Otto from Red Brand in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you back with us. Larry Colmus had the call of that Coaching Club American Oaks, and a dominating performance, as has kind of become customary for Monomoy Girl. That was at Saratoga on July 22nd. She returns to action later this afternoon in the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby, and because of her stellar resume, she is 3-5 on the morning line, and Keith Jones is the man who is responsible for that call later today, and looking forward to hearing it, and looking forward to the visit here this morning on the show. Keith, welcome, my friend.
Welcome. I appreciate you guys having me. It's the Jimmy John studio. Can they get me a sandwich up here real quick?
So fast you'll freak.
What's your favorite Jimmy John's number, a 14?
I'm not sure. I just appreciate you guys having me on. Having some fun.
Yeah, looking forward to this. And you know, looking forward to the afternoon. You talk about those two grade ones. What an unbelievable day it has to be for you as the track caller.
I don't get a whole lot of days like that up here, so it absolutely. I look forward to it a great deal. I take advantage of the opportunity to go back to the barns and, you know, see them up close and personal, and, you know, pet them if I can, and watch them school in the paddock. And they're just, when you talk about the thoroughbreds at this level, the grade one horses, they're just so beautiful to look at. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it.
And Keith, you've had the privilege to call some really good ones in that Pennsylvania Derby over the years. Thinking back to last year with West Coast, we've seen Frosted and Bayern and We'll Take Charge. It's the names that have come through parks in recent years, it's been a who's who.
We struggled for a long time with having our signature race on Labor Day, which was just too close to the Travers. There's just no way anybody was going to run their quality 3-year-old in both races. And if you're going to choose between the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby, you know, the great percentage obviously they're going to run in the Travers. So when management moved the race away from the Travers and put it in a position to be a prep for the 3-year-olds to move forward to Breeders' Cup Day, It just found a whole new level. And just as some of the names that you threw out there, you didn't, I know he got beat because it was kind of a prep race for him. They didn't make any bones about the fact that he wasn't 100%, but California Chrome came.
Yep.
And I mean, he was just the attention he attracted here. But since moving the race and putting it where they have it, the race has just become a tremendous three-year-old race of the fall.
Yeah, well, you've got two just sensational races today. You got arguably, you know, the best fillies in the country in the Cotillion, and then the Derby's just outstanding as well. You mentioned that you go to the barn and look at the horses. Does that help you when you call the races?
No, I can't say it gives me any particular edge in calling the race. No. You know, I'll do my prep work and, you know, I'll watch the videos during the week of what they've done in the past. You really, it's amazing because of the work that you do during the week. You're very familiar with the horses, even though you don't see them like I do when, you know, my regular claimers out here that I'll see every 3 weeks or every month. You get so familiar with those, but you feel like you're really familiar with the field and with the horses, even before they set foot on the racetrack.
Yeah, Keith Jones with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He'll have the call, the Pennsylvania Derby and the Grade 1 Cotillion later this afternoon from Parks. Keith, is there a particular race or maybe a couple of moments that stand out to you when you think back on the Pennsylvania Derbies and the Cotillions that you've been part of over the years?
I absolutely, yeah. My very first, I remember one of my favorites from well back was Summer Squall. Which was the first time I had the opportunity to call a Preakness winner in the Pennsylvania Derby, and that was really a dynamic race. He got off to a tangled beginning. It wasn't a large field, but he broke last, and then around the far turn made this sudden move to get himself up into contention and just went on to win with the kind of class that he had. California Chrome was my first opportunity to call a Kentucky Derby winner. And I can't tell you how, you know, I was so much looking forward to him being in front in that last furlong, and that just didn't work out for me. Frosted, who put in such a terrific performance, stands out to me. You didn't mention the calls of the Cotillion. Maybe my favorite moment was having an opportunity to call Songbird in the Cotillion, because she just stands so far above with, you know, what she was able to, you know, the kind of career she was able to have, and to have her win the Cotillion was a great moment for me.
Well, you've got some fantastic fillies in this year's Cotillion. I know you make the morning line. Is your choice Monomoy Girl?
I do not make I'm not the morning line maker. A fellow named John is our morning line guy. 3-5 is a pretty short price against, as you mentioned, some really good fillies in here. I'm not sure she'll be 3-5. She might be, I don't know if she'll be a whole lot higher than even money. And I think she's going to be difficult to beat. I think the scenario and where she draws in the race play to her favor. There's not a whole lot of early speed in the race. I think she should be well positioned early in front of her main contenders in what shouldn't be a terribly taxing pace. I think they're going to have a hard time running her down today. I did have a chance to talk to Brad Cox when I was back in the barns this week, and with the Breeders' Cup looming, you wonder whether, you know, I don't think they'd be using this as a prep. Because it is a million-dollar race, and he said, again, this could be just trainer speak, but he said she's absolutely as good as he can get her. She's 100%, and if she's 100%, I mean, they haven't been able to beat her. So in a wagering sense, I'd probably be – and you can't spread out the other contenders underneath her too much, because you're just going to be you're not going to get a whole lot of value that way. I think I would look at what the exact probables are coming back and maybe punch one or two of those that with the other contenders that offer some value and hope that you're right.
Yeah, she's a filly that's has a forwardly placed running style. Last time out, she goes wire to wire to win the Coaching Club American Oaks. She sat third to win the Acorn the race before that. We've seen her come from further back to win some of her races. so she can be placed pretty much anywhere. How would you describe that racetrack, Keith? Is it more of a typically a speed favoring racetrack, or does it favor horses that come from a little bit off the pace?
It is more usually a speed favoring track, and on the big days it seems to be even more so. And I think you raise a terrific point. I think that's absolutely something that you want to. The races don't fall until later in the afternoon. You should be able to get a good handle on how the track plays during the afternoon and what's going on in the earlier races. But for the most part, I would say that in our big days, that the speed has been a significant factor. Horses that are having to make up a lot of ground to go on and win the races, it just doesn't seem to work out.
Put us in the announcer's booth with you for a moment. When you're calling a race with a horse of this stature that's going to be such a heavy favorite in a Grade One race, when they're in the gate, are you singularly focused on Monomoy Girl, or will you be trying to watch the rest of the field a little bit too? How do you do it?
You really do. You watch all of them. You have maybe a little bit more of an eye on Monomoy Girl, but in a race of this caliber, that the gate break in those first couple of moments can be extremely significant. If for any reason you're a half a step slow, you get bumped just a little bit, and you compromise any kind of position in the very early part of the race, you're going to compromise your chances of success during the rest of the day or during the rest of the running of the race. So I absolutely will keep my eye on all of them, again, with maybe a little bit more of an edge toward Monomoy Girl. But no, you want to be able to, as an announcer, you hope to be able to see as much as you possibly can.
What have you decided to go with for the pronunciation of Mark Cassie's filly?
From what I understand, it's Gadot, Wonder Gadot. It's the Israeli actress. Gary Barber, obviously the movie producer, but I've been in touch with Larry Colmus this week. And there was no question that when he called the Travers, and I mean, we've been calling her Wonder Gadot all year. And when he said, Gadot, that definitely my ear perked up. But we've been in touch this week, and he assures me that he had been in touch with Mr. Barber, and that it's Gadot. Wonder Gadot. That's how she says her name.
That's what we went with for the Travers as well, because Larry had informed us that's what he was going to go with there. It's funny because her name, we've been covering her now since her two-year-old season here on the network. And Jude, I think we've gone with probably four different pronunciations. It started with Gadot, then it was Gadot, then Gadot, and now Gadot. Those are the four I can come up with.
Yeah.
Well, you just as an announcer, you do want to get it right. So Larry did my legwork for me, and I appreciate that.
Well, the myth continues.
Hey, what Larry says goes.
I can't say I've seen any of her movies, so I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if she can pull off a victory. She'll have to be Wonder Woman to knock off Monomoy Girl and the rest of those fillies, because they are very, very good in today's Grade One Cotillion.
It was interesting. If you go back and look at the stretch run of the Kentucky Oaks, when the two of them were head and head, when Monomoy and Wonder Gadot were head to head through that last furlong, late in the race they bump, they come together, and at that point Wonder Gadot changes to the wrong lead. She's on the proper outside lead, through the whole fight, and when they bump, she changes to the inside lead, and that's the moment when Monomoy Girl gets the advantage and puts ahead maybe a neck in front. And, that was, if you look at it, you could make a case for that was the deciding moment in the race.
All right, Keith Jones, he's the man who will have the call of that Grade One Cotillion and Grade One Pennsylvania Derby later this afternoon. Keith, have to get to our next segment. Really appreciate the visit. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. So we'll get that to you, and enjoy the afternoon, and look forward to hearing the calls.
Well, I appreciate you guys spotlighting our race and our race car today, and thank you very much for having me on. It has been my pleasure.
All right, Keith Jones, ladies and gentlemen, an absolute delight to visit with here on HRRN. All right, have to get to our next segment for you here on the network. It is all, of course, presented by Four Roses. Time for our monthly visit with our friends at Four Roses Bourbon, which is situated in the heart of horse country in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Since 1888, Four Roses Bourbon has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview much like that great bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Joined by Al Young, who is the senior brand ambassador at Four Roses here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Al, talk to me a little bit about what makes Four Roses so unique.
Well, you know, the uniqueness of Four Roses can be defined as a high-quality grain source, people we've been dealing with for the past 60 years. We have two mash bills, which are grain menus, and we have single-story warehouses where we age our distillate and turn it into a really yummy-tasting bourbon. And then we have five proprietary yeast strains.
For the layman that doesn't know much about bourbon, what does that mean?
Well, that means that we're using a grain mash bill of one that's 75% corn, 20% rye, and 5% malted barley. And the other one is 60% corn, 35% rye, and 5% malted barley.
And then at the end of the process, you'll actually take these different combinations and then mix them together to get the different flavors that you're
That's exactly right. Yes. We have five yeasts. One produces a delicate fruitiness, another a slightly spicy character, a rich fruitiness in the third one. The fourth one's sort of like a floral essence. Rose is my favorite. And, of course, the last one has sort of an herbal quality to it. Sort of like spearmint, if you will.
No other bourbon company uses all of these different yeasts, correct?
That's correct. They're all proprietary.
All right. And then the recipes are all proprietary, too, I would imagine?
They are.
FourRosesBourbon.com is the website. You can learn more about all of the mash bills that we're talking about, the two different mash bills, and, of course, about the five different yeasts, which, of course, end up giving you 10 different recipes with the two mash bills. Am I saying that correctly?
Exactly right.
And the different flavors that you can get are all listed on the website as well. You mentioned your favorite, the roses. How come?
Well, I just think that there's a really nice aroma that comes out of the bourbon if it has sort of a floral content to it. It kind of speaks mellowness, but it also speaks ingenuity and creativity that you can't find anywhere else.
Is there a proper way to enjoy bourbon?
You know, I've heard that all across the country. I do travel around quite a bit. I've heard some say they like it over a cube of ice. I've heard they like it straight up. Some like it in mixed drinks. And my way of thinking, as long as you drink it, it doesn't matter how you do it.
When you look at the FourRosesBourbon.com website, you'll see the different recipes that we're talking about, and you'll see the different combinations that create these different flavors. So when somebody's looking at these different things on the website, explain that. Tell me what they're looking at and how they can interpret all of that.
Well, now, if you look at it directly, you'll see that there are about four letters involved. And the first letter is O, which stands for Old Prentice, which is what our distillery was called at one time when we were owned by Seagram's. The second letter will be either a B for a high rye or an E for a high corn mash bill or grain menu. The third letter will be S for simple distillation, which involves a still and a doubler. And then the last letter will be one of those five yeast codes. So if you take a look at our single barrel, for example, it says it's an OBSV letter arrangement. Well, mm-hmm. That simply means it's a high rye mash bill with a fruity yeast.
Okay. So this is the way that people can determine the flavor that they're going to get when they sample a particular bottle of Four Roses.
It gives you an indicator because once you open that bottle and start drinking the bourbon, your interpretation of what it is might be more pronounced, might be even different. You never know.
I know many people will enjoy bourbon with a cigar, too.
Yes.
That's a very popular thing to do. Are there recommendations that Four Roses tends to make as to what pairs well, kind of like a wine? Is there a cigar that pairs well with a certain bourbon or things like that?
Oh, I don't want to step on any toes with that. Probably Cubano is probably the way to go with some of the more richness of the single barrel. Small batch will go with just about any medium quality cigar. And then the Four Roses bourbon at 80 proof just takes it all on. It'll go with all of them.
He is Al Young. He is the senior brand ambassador for Four Roses. You can learn more about the brand and about the different recipes we've discussed by going to FourRosesBourbon.com. And we're back to wrap things up right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi. Your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay. I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. 7-time grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
World-class racing is less than a week away, so don't miss opening day of the 2018 Santa Anita Auto Meet this Friday, September 28th, with a revised wagering menu that will include the all-new Stronic 5, featuring a record low 12% takeout each Friday, and the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6. There's more ways to win than ever. Play the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 on opening day, and you'll be guaranteed a $250,000 jackpot pool, and we'll guarantee $1 million jackpot pools Saturday and Sunday, September 29th and 30th. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Bellis have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with 4-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and 3-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Our thanks to all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Join us tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, for the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks, Sirius XM 93, and worldwide on our website. Mark Otto, been a delight, my friend.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We enjoy you guys a lot.
Thanks for being with us. JT, been a lot of fun.
Yeah, great show.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Let's try this again. Go Steelers, please.
Good night, Barbados.